We're going to open up the scriptures. Let's pray as we do. Baruch ata Adonai, Lahenu melech ha'olam, asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav, v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with your commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. I want you to continue to amuse me by showing me whether you brought a Bible or not. If you have a Bible, wave it to me. If you've got a digital Bible, hold it up in the air. If you've got one of each, keep your hands full. Those of you with digital Bibles or concordances, I'm going to give you an assignment I need your help with during the middle of the message. So get familiar with your search. I want to read to you from Genesis 37, an earlier reading from this year, the two dreams of Joseph. Starting in verse 5, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, guess what? They hated him even more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brother said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him even more because of his dream and what he said. When Joseph shared that dream with his brothers, it confirmed to them that he was a bad kid. That he was arrogant, that he was boastful, that if he had more power and more authority, he would use it in a way that wasn't good. He would perhaps abuse them. And they said, "Do you intend to rule over us? Is that what you have in mind?" Because he's younger. Well, verse 9, he had another dream. And he told it to his brothers. You would have thought that he would learn a lesson. When the brothers show their anger and their hatred, you would think he'd say, "At least I'm going to keep it to myself." But he does not. He tells it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream. And this time, the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him. And he said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I," you see, that was the sun and the moon, as far as Jacob was concerned, "will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. His father rebuked him, but he couldn't let the thought go away. What is this about? Now, some of you have dreams too. Some of you have spiritual dreams. Some of you just have late night pizza dreams. It's important to know the difference. But sometimes when we have dreams or God gives us the ability to see things spiritually, we really don't understand what's going to happen. We have an idea, maybe we even have a clear picture, but the clear picture doesn't fully describe what's really going to happen. And there are also times when you have a dream, you have a vision, you see something for the future, and no one around you is going to encourage you. Have you ever been in that situation?
Yes.
You have a desire for something, and it's you alone. Me, myself, and I, the threesome, all by my lonesome self, sometimes. There are times when you're going to have to stand on your own two feet and stand with God to do, to believe Him, to be faithful to Him for what He shows you, and people may not like you for it. They may disagree with you. But here's the caution that I want to bring you. You may think you understand how things are going to work out, but it's very likely you don't understand any more than Joseph did. Because I can tell you one thing. Joseph did not tell his brothers these dreams with the idea, "Hey, I've got a plan. I'll tell them dreams that God gave to me. They will hate me so much, they'll throw me into a pit. Then they'll sell me into slavery. Then I'll go down to a foreign country and work as a slave. And then, if everything works according to my plan, I'll end up in prison. What a dream. He had no plan. He had no understanding. He had dreams that he received from the Lord, but it wasn't granted to him from God to fully understand those dreams and to know what to do. Now remember, when he was in prison, when Joseph was in prison, he had been interpreting some dreams. And he was called by Pharaoh, ultimately, to come interpret dreams of Pharaoh, right? These were not Joseph's dreams, these were Pharaoh's dreams. Pharaoh had the dream, but he didn't know what they meant and he didn't know what to do. Joseph didn't have the dream, but he knew what they meant and he knew what to do. And sometimes God will work that way. When he gives you a dream, you're going to have to use your effort on behalf of someone else before you get your own chance to fulfill things. When Joseph actually interpreted the dream of Pharaoh, he was promoted by God out of prison directly to the prime minister's office. Now, we know a lot of politicians who we would like to go in the other direction. From office to prison or somewhere. But in Joseph's case, he wasn't a politician, but God was using him. He was using him in order to save Egypt. But not only Egypt. Who else was he going to save? Israel. The brothers in particular. So with that in mind, let's turn to the fulfillment of the dreams in Genesis 45, which is from this week's Parsha. Joseph's brothers are standing before him in the courts of the king and the prime minister, Joseph being the prime minister. Joseph knows who he himself is. He knows who they are, but they don't know who he is. He, in fact, is the prime minister, and they are there because they're desperate for food because a famine has been going on for how many years? No, not 7 years. It will be seven, but actually 2 years. We'll see that in verse 6. So Genesis 45, verse 1. Joseph with his brothers, they don't know who he is. He knows who they are. He's been listening to them speak in Hebrew, but it's been interpreted to him into Egyptian, which Joseph speaks, but Joseph understands the Hebrew. And then he's moved, verse 1. Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." And so there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Verse 3, Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph." Now, you know that was not good news for the brothers. "Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because, what does your Bible say? Because why? They were dumbfounded. What's another translation? They were terrified. They were dismayed. They were troubled. They were so upset by these few words that Joseph spoke. "I'm Joseph." That they could not even talk. And then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." And when they had done so, he said, "I am your brother, Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt." And now, don't you wonder what the pause might have been after that now? "And now, What would have raced through your mind if you were one of the brothers who had sold him? Going to jail. Who else has a thought? I am a dead man. And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will not be plowing and reaping. Verse 7. If your Bible has these next two words, I want you to underline them. But God. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, this is what your son Joseph says, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds and all you have. I will provide for you there because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded me in Egypt, and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly. Verse 14, then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin, and he wept, and Benjamin embraced him, weeping, and he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterward, his brothers could talk to him. It took all that for the brothers to regain their composure, which was different than Joseph's emotional break, if you will. Joseph was overcome with compassion, and it was tears of mercy that were flowing through him. The brothers were overcome with what? Fear. Do you see how in the same situation, one person can move with fear, another one can move with compassion? This describes the triumph of mercy. You see, God's plan for Joseph was to give to him authority and power that could be mixed together with grace so that God could show mercy to the sons of Israel and also to the Egyptians. Joseph's brothers did not understand that power and authority are meant to be mixed with grace. So they imagined if Joseph had power or authority, he would use it against them, not for them. And that's why when he told them his dreams, they were angry and filled with hatred. But in reality, this moment is the fulfillment of those dreams. This is the moment when he's ruling over them. He's ruling over all of Egypt. And what is he doing with all that power and authority? Showing mercy. Showing grace. In fact, Joseph understood by this time that God had mercy towards his brothers. It's not always easy to see things that way, is it? When someone does wrong to you, what's our normal human response? God, get even with them. Slap them. I heard you say, it's all right. You said it loud enough, I could hear it. Don't we sometimes pray for people to get justice because they weren't merciful towards us? We pray not for them to be blessed, but we pray for God to get even. By this moment, Joseph's not praying like that. He has received mercy into his heart, and he understands God wants to use mercy towards his brothers, towards his family. Now, when you see that God wants to use mercy, it changes everything about how you approach a situation. Or when you're filled with fear, it changes everything about how you approach a situation. I'll give two examples from my life. One, when I was filled with fear, and the other one when I was filled with mercy. So I was living in Roanoke, Virginia. I was driving home from work, and I see this old, sort of miserable-looking man walking down the sidewalk. Gray-haired, disheveled, clothes that were, you know, like wearing out. And I looked at him, and my first thought is, he's a bum. You know, we would say homeless now. But I thought, you know, I had a thought, he's a bum. Now, as soon as I had that thought, you know what happened? The Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, stop and give that man $20. And I just put that thought behind me. And I kept driving. And while I'm driving, I'm imagining what could happen if I actually go to him. And I get a little nervous. You know, like, will he do something? Will he want to take my money? I mean, not the money I'm offering him, but all my money. Will he, you know, will he just think I'm weird? And so I become afraid. And so I just keep driving. And I'm trying to put this thought out of my mind. Have you ever been in a situation where you're trying to put something out of your mind and yet it's the Holy Spirit who's trying to speak to you? Who's had that experience? Okay. I'm not alone, you see. I talk about these things pretty openly because I think these are common experiences. So I was driving home and I was intent, and now I'm rationalizing. I don't have time to stop and so forth. But I've totally lost my joy at this moment. And as I'm driving, I'm haunted by this thought, it's the Lord who's telling me to do this. You know, like, why would he tell me now? I don't want to do it. Well, no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't get the idea out of my mind. And finally, I said, okay. And I turned the car around. And I went back. And I thought, you know, I'm going to go back. I'm going to get out. I'm going to give this man the money. And God's going to do something marvelous. So I drive back around to where he was. He couldn't have gone very far. I was in a car. He was by foot. And I couldn't find him. And so I went down the street where he was headed. He wasn't there. So I drove around the side streets looking for him. And here's the terrible thing. I couldn't find him.
Rabbi, it was me.
It was you. Finally, I've been looking to give you $20. You look a lot better now than you did then. So at that moment, the Spirit of God spoke to my spirit and said, you don't always get second chances. And I drove all the way home with my head hanging down, ashamed of myself, because I had a response of fear to that situation. Now, a few years later, Sandy and I were in Tampa. It was more than a dozen years ago, and we were staying at a hotel because we were there for a conference, and in front of the hotel was a restaurant. It was a Village Inn. I remember that. And we ate a meal, and as we were leaving, I noticed a family, and I looked at them, and it was a... a man and a woman and several kids, and the kids were sort of older, but they were developmentally disabled, or there was something, you know, they had some developmental problems. And I was looking at them, and yet they were all filled with smiling faces and joy. Their clothes weren't very good, but they were sitting there, and the Spirit of God, I have to say, brought them to my attention. And when I noticed them, a thought came to me, and I thought, this is from the Lord. And the thought was, pay for their meal. And so I went to the manager of the restaurant, and I said, I have an unusual request. Do you see that table over there, that family over there? I want to buy them their meal. And he said, oh, are they your friends? I said, no, I've never seen them before. And he asked me questions like, why are you doing this? I don't know what I said, to be honest with you. But I said, can I give you my credit card and you pay for their dinner and put a good tip on for the waitress, and then I'll come in tomorrow and I'll get the receipt? And so he said, sure. So the next day I came back to pick up the receipt, and I found the manager, and he came up to me and he gave me the you know, the receipt. And then he just stopped and he looked at me and he said, that family, they all just started crying when I told them. You see, he couldn't really tell them much because he couldn't say who it was because they didn't know me and I didn't know them. But he said they just started crying. They were really thankful. And then he teared up. And I'm a stranger to him. Then I'm tearing up. And at that moment, I realized these are tears of mercy. They're tears from the Lord. God wanted to show mercy to that family. He didn't want me to get anything out of it other than being an instrument of his mercy. Do you see that? These were not people I knew or who knew me. There was nothing they could do for me in the natural way of things. Could God bless me through them? Of course. They could have prayed for me. I mean, they could be such people that they're still praying for me. And I'm still receiving. I don't know. But I can tell you this. God wanted to show them mercy. And he asked me to do it. And in that case, instead of giving in to the fear, I chose the mercy. Now, you probably have a story like this in your life, a time when God told you to do something good for someone else who couldn't do good for you. And you did it. And you know what I'm talking about. When that comes into our heart, that kind of mercy, it changes the way we think. It changes the way we feel, and it changes the way that we act. I think something like that happened to Joseph and to his brothers. That Joseph looked at his brothers, and the Spirit of God said to Joseph, mercy. 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 There may have been times of struggle where Joseph was praying, why is all this happening? And the Lord says, mercy. Mercy. I'm going to show you things that you can't imagine. God wanted to show mercy and favor to them. Chesed. Mercy. Say that with me. Chesed. Favor. Chen. Can you say that? Chen. There's a Hebrew phrase. Chen v'chesed uverachamim rabim. Let's try that together. Chen v'chesed uverachamim rabim. Favor or grace, they're the same thing in Hebrew. Mercy and great compassion. Joseph was ready to be an instrument of grace and favor and mercy and compassion. Yeshua is known several ways. One is by the title Mashiach ben Yosef, Messiah, the anointed one, son of Joseph. You see, Joseph was a son of mercy, and Yeshua is a son of mercy, the King of mercy. He's the one who brings healing. He brings hope. He brings reconciliation even to his brothers who have wronged him. Yeshua uses his authority and his power with grace and with mercy and with great compassion. Joseph said, "Come close to me. I'm your brother. God sent me ahead of you to save lives." That is the heart of a redeemer. Now, those of you who have digital Bibles and those of you who have concordances, the ones with concordances, you'll just find it more difficult to do. But if you have a digital Bible, open it up right now to your search function. And if you don't have a search function, it's not much of a digital Bible. But if you can do that, I'm using the ESV, the English Standard Version. It's got a good search function. Just put in the word freely into your digital search. And let's just take 2 minutes to share scriptures that come up that have to do with freely. Okay, stand up and read it so we can all hear. This is Genesis. Genesis 2:16. That's with a concordance, so you have to use your real fingers to turn real pages, just like in days of yore. That's good. John?
Matthew 10.
Which verse?
It's the online parallel Bible.
Verse 8. Here you go. Freely you have received, freely give. Let's say that together. Freely you have received, freely give. Matthew 10, verse 8. Say that with me. Matthew 10, verse 8. Brian?
Hosea 14:4.
Hosea 14:4, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. That describes how God was feeling towards Israel. He communicated that to Joseph and to Israel through Yeshua as well. That's good. Let's have another one in the back.
Romans 8:32.
That's very good. Romans 8:32. I like this translation. Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us, won't he also freely give us everything? Everything else. That's good. Let's have one or two more. Jonathan?
Psalm 54, verse 6.
Let's hear it.
It says, I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good.
That's good. Psalm 54, verse 6, I will freely sacrifice to thee. I will praise your name. For it is good. That's good. One more. D?
Psalm 112, verse 9.
That's very good. Psalm 112, verse 9. He has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever, his horn is exalted in honor. That's also quoted in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9. And last one, Rebecca? Isaiah 23, verse 10. Okay, I can't pull that up quite quick enough on my scripture. Isaiah, give me the citation again. 23:10. Let me share just a couple more. Ephesians 1:6. So we praise God for the glorious grace that he has freely poured out on us who belong to his dear son. And one more, Ephesians 3:7. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by freely spreading this good news. Freely you have received, freely give. That is a message for us for 2012. John?
One more.
First Corinthians 2:12. First Corinthians 2:12, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. Good verses, aren't they? See what you can do when you're searching? Just put in a good word, and many good words will come back to you. Well, let's pray for ourselves that we'll be able to freely give as we have freely received, and that God will fill our hearts with mercy towards those he wants to show mercy to, and that we will freely spread the good news that Yeshua has given to us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your mercy, which triumphs over justice, over evil, and even over hard-heartedness and over fear. I pray that you would fill our hearts with your mercy, that you would enable us to become willing servants of God, and the mercy and truth which you reveal in Messiah Yeshua. Use us, Lord, to do good to all, to the household of faith, and to all who are searching for you. In Yeshua's name, amen. Well, let's close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please rise? Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai p'nav elecha v'ichunecha. The Lord bless you, the Lord protect you, the Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you, the Lord be gracious to you with his favor, the Lord lift up his face to you and give you his shalom in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom and Happy New Year.